All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be there with you in person, but at least Baruch Hashem, it is a great source to be able to learn with all of you virtually today. Today's daf is Kuf Tes 109, and we are picking up on Kuf Ches Amud Beis 108b, about 22 lines up, 22, 24 lines up from the bottom. So right after the Tegu, Itmar, Nignava Ba'ones, V'hokar Aganav. So here's the case. Ultimately, again, if you look at Rashi, Nignava Ba'ones, Ballistin Mizuyin, the Shomer Sacher Paterba, the Achaka Hokra Ganav Yachalokofalos Miados. Here's the case. So remember again, we're talking now, the Gemara is transitioning to a case of a Shomer Sacher, a paid custodian. See, if you have a Shomer Sacher, the halacha is that if the object is stolen, Shomer Sacher is normally chayiv for Gneba Vaveda, stolen and lost objects. However, if it was stolen in a way that is an ones, that is an extenuating circumstance, then halacha lemaisa, he could be potter. So here's the case. Nignava ba'ones, if the object was stolen from the shomer ba'ones, extenuating story, hukar aganov, and then we discovered who the thief was. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, im shomer, so okay, im shomer chinam hu, if the shomer is a shomer chinam, then ratza ose imodin, ratza nishba, then the halacha is, he could literally translate it, either engage in din or swear. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ratza nishba, v'abaylem yifrom min agam. Remember, again, with the Shomer Chinom has the ability to take an oath that the object was stolen, and then he's done. He's out. So that's nishba. So he could swear and exempt himself, or osi imodin, Rashi says, m'shalim l'abaylem v'yifrom min agam. Or the other possibility is, remember, again, and we spoke of this in yesterday's shir, that a Shomer Chinom has the ability to go ahead and pay, and then once he pays the owner, he essentially becomes, you know, vested in the object, and therefore he could go ahead and take up the case with the ganav. Im shomer sacher hu, however, if he's a shomer sacher, a paid custodian, then osi imodin the eino nishba, then a shomer sacher can't exempt himself with the shvua, but instead all the shomer sacher could do is go ahead and pay the owner for the loss or for the object, and then go ahead and take it up, essentially adjudicate it out with the ganav. Rava Amar Rava says no. Rava says, not true. In fact, again, halacha lemaisa, neither the Shomer Sachar nor the Shomer Chinom have the ability to go ahead and swear and exempt themselves. Rather, they have to go ahead and deal with it with the ganav. Now, what I'll point out over here is something very interesting. In this case over here, if you notice, the ganav, we're identifying the ganav relatively early in the process. So Rav is suggesting that once the ganav has been identified, before anything has happened. So remember, again, this is a case of nignava ba'ones v'hukar haganav, right? So Rashi points out over here that halacha lemaisa, that we're talking about a case where before the oath was taken, the ganav was recognized. So now the shaila is over here, is there still the possibility for the shomer chinam to say, you know what, I'm out, I'm going to swear, and then I'm out, and then you, owner, take care of this? Or perhaps now, in this case, we've identified who the ganav is. Maybe the situation is different. So Rava wants to suggest that halacha lemaisa echazeh v'echazeh. Either way, in both cases, osi imodin ve'eino nishba. Ultimately, again, you have to duke it out. You have to adjudicate it out with the ganav. And you can't exempt yourself through an oath. Lema pligia de Rafuna bar Avin. So say that this argues on Rafuna bar Avin. The shalach Rafuna bar Avin. Rafuna bar Avin. They send the following shalach to him. Nignava ba'ones. If the item was stolen, and it was stolen in a way that was an extenuating circumstance, and afterwards they identified the ganav, im shomer chinam hu, so if the shomer is a shomer chinam, ratza osi imodin, ratza nishba. So again, the shomer chinam has the ability to either take a shvua and absolve himself, or adjudicate it out. Vim shomer sacher hu, but if he's a shomer sacher, he doesn't have the ability to exempt himself with a shvua, but rather, again, he must go ahead and adjudicate this out with the ganav. So the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rava. So Rava says, no, hachamai askinan. What's the case over here? Kegon shekadam v'nishba. The case of Osei over here could be where halacha lemaisa, the shomer took the shvua before the thief was identified. So you must remember again, in the case the Gemara was identifying to us, what was unique and what was different in this case than the previous cases is, again, I deposit an object with Reuven. I come to Reuven. I say, Reuven, give back my object. Reuven says it was stolen. So now, before anything happens, we identify who the thief is. So now the shaila is, does Reuven, as a shomer chinam, still have the ability to exempt himself from shvua, or to exempt himself, I'm sorry, through to take a shvua and exempt himself from payment, or Do we say that since the thief has been identified, he has to adjudicate this out? So that's really what's happening over here. So the Gemara, so Rabbah will say this case is different. Why? Kigon shekada menishba. The case could be where the shomer proactively swore even before the thief was identified. But that's not what it says. But it sounds like the Gemara says he has a choice. He can either swear or adjudicate it out with the ganav, which sounds like, again, the ganav has been identified before the oath has been taken. This is what it means to say. What it means is like this. We're talking about a case of the shomer chinam already swore. So once the thief has been identified, so the shomer chinam has a choice. He can either go ahead and stand by his shvua, meaning I swore and therefore I'm out, or ratza osi imodin, or if he wants, he has the ability to go ahead and adjudicate this. Okay, so Rabazuti Baile Hakir. Rabazuta asked this following differently. He said as follows. He said, Nignava Baones, Vehechzir, Ganov, Bebeis Shomer, Umesa Bepshia. So this is actually an interesting case over here. The Gemara, listen to this case. I deposited an object with Ruvain, and Halacha Lamaisa, I deposited an object with Ruvain, and it was stolen. Nignava Baones, it was stolen, it was clearly an Ones situation. Vehechzir Ganav Bebeis Shomer. And then ultimately the Ganav returns it back to the house of the Shomer. So I give the object to Ruvain, I'm the owner, I deposit it with Ruvain. Then the object is stolen from the house of Ruvain. Then the Ganav returns it back to Ruvain. Umesa Bepshia. And then the animal dies because of negligence once again in Ruvain's home. So ma, what's the halacha? So mi aminan kevan denignava ba'ones kayalish miraso. So do we say that once the object was stolen from Ruvain's domain and it was a case of ones, so Ruvain's shmira, Ruvain's custodianship, his guardianship has effectively been terminated. And therefore, again, what happens subsequently, he's not really liable for. O dilma kevan da hajra hajlish miraso. Or do we say that perhaps halacha lamaisa, once the object was returned to Ruvain's domain, then Ruvain's shmira, Ruvain's guardianship, custodianship has effectively been reinstated, to which the Gemara says, teku. So the Gemara says, okay, good kasha, we're going to leave it a little bit open-ended. So I will say, so this last piece over here is really quite interesting. So kind of what we emerge with from this sugya is the following situation, that in a general case, where let's say I go ahead, I go to the shomer, and I tell him I want my object, and he claims it was stolen. So remember again, in that case, especially the shomer chinam case, he has that option ultimately of swearing or paying. If he swears, he's out. If he pays, okay, he's made me whole, and therefore he's entitled to the kefal or the arba v'chamish, whatever it might be. What becomes interesting is when you throw in all of these additional cases, where let's say again, even after paying. So remember again, we had machlokes abayin rava in yesterday's daf, and again, remember we paskin that halacha l'maisa, if the shomer swore and then paid, he would still be entitled to the kefal. So we see that even after going ahead and swearing, even though shomer is exempted, technically speaking, there still seems to be some level of shomer involvement with the object as well. All right, like a lot of really interesting cases, a lot more halacha l'maisa to do in this, but we'll leave the sugya as is, and Amirat Hashem continue to the Mishnah. Let's go weiter. Says the Mishnah, Heichan pikdoni, where is my pikadon? So remember again, I deposit an object with Ruvain, and I come back to Ruvain and say, Ruvain, where is my pikadon? Amar lo, avad. Ruvain says, I'm so sorry, it was lost. It was lost. Mashpiachani. So I say, okay, no problem. Take a shvua that it was lost. Va'amar amen. And Ruvain swears that the object was lost. Va'idim mi'idin also sha'achlo. Then witnesses show up and say, no, Ruvain didn't lose it. Rather, Ruvain consumed it. Whatever, he shechted it, he ate it, he sold it, whatever he did. The point over here is that he lied. What's the halacha? Mishalim Karen. So ultimately, Ruvain has to go ahead and pay Karen. He has to pay back principal. So the Gemara says, Ho dami atzmo, mishalim Karen v'chom mishvashom. So obviously, if he took a false oath, Ruvain took a false oath that it was lost, but in fact it wasn't lost, and he admits it of his own volition, then there's three-pronged payments, right? Karen, chomish, asham. Next, Heichan pikdoni. Same case. I deposit an object with Ruvain. I come back to retrieve my object. I say, Ruvain, where is my object? And Ruvain says, Amrlo nignav. Ruvain says it was stolen. So as I say here, he's making a taina of, this is toin tainas ganov. He's making a claim that the object was stolen from him. Mashbi'acha ani. I say, okay, go ahead and swear. And what happens? Va'amar amin. And he swears. Va'idim mi'idin oso sheganvo. And then witnesses show up and they say, Ruvain, You stole it. You stole it. What's that halacha? Meshayim tashlumi kefel. So Bosai said, this is a case. Remember, Toin Tainus Ganav, when a shomer claims that the object was stolen from him, but he took it himself, he effectively becomes a Ganav, and therefore he is going to be chayiv in kefel. Okay, on the other hand, if he swore and then admitted of his own volition that he swore falsely, the Mishalim Keren V'chomesh V'asham, then he has to pay again, principal, fifth, and the Karban Asham. Good. So we'll say, so that's pretty straightforward. That's, we've seen this quoted many times. Just as this is what's called Toin Tainus Ganav. So this is actually interesting. So the Shomer, if he claims the object was lost, and then it turns out that he lied, he's only going to be Chayiv Keren. If he claims that the object was stolen, and it turns out that it wasn't, he's treated like a Ganav, and he has to pay Kefal. Next, interesting case here. Hagozel Es Aviv. So we'll say, let's say Reuven steals from his father Yaakov. So what happens? V'nishpalov. So now what happens? And now Reuven swears that he did not steal. He did not steal. Umes. But then ultimately, again, his father died. Now, we'll say, now here's the sequence of events is very important over here. Right? Reuven steals from his father Yaakov while his father's alive. Father dies. And then Reuven swore that he did not steal from his father. Then after Yaakov dies, Reuven admits that he stole from his father. So he's moda that he swore falsely, but after the death of his father. What's that halacha? Harezem Mishalim Keren V'chomesh V'asham Labanav Ola Echav. So we'll say, so what does he do? Remember, it's like any case where he swears falsely. If you admit that you swore falsely, Keren Chomesh Asham. Who does he pay it to? Remember, his father's dead. So who does he pay it to? He pays it to, right, the sons or the brothers. In other words, he pays it to the inheritors of his father. So the father is no longer here, he pays the inheritors. Okay, so it seems pretty straightforward. So the Gemara says, what happens if, let's take the extreme case, let's say Reuven the son is unable to pay it back, he needs the money to live on, he doesn't have the ability to pay it back, or I guess technically speaking, he doesn't want to pay it back. In other words, what's complicating about this case is that Reuven stole from his father when his father was alive, right? Then Yaakov and Reuven swore that he didn't steal. Now Yaakov dies, which means that technically speaking, the stuff that Reuven stole from his father when his father was alive is now technically Reuven's Yerusha. Technically, it's in his inheritance. So, but now he admitted that he swore falsely. So he's Chayiv, Keren, Chomesh, and Asham. But he doesn't want to pay it back because at the end of the day, it's my Yerusha. So why should I have to pay back my Yerusha? So what could he do? This is actually interesting. So the Mishnah kind of frames it in two ways. Either he doesn't want to pay it back or he can't pay it back. Rashi says over here, Ein lo. Rashi says, Ein lo. He says, Nechasim kol kach she yachal levatra al chelko, o she'en rotza lahafsid chelko. He doesn't want to give back this property because he wants to retain this property as Yerusha. So what could he do? So what could he do? It's actually an interesting idea over here. He says, Lova. So what he could do is like this. Reuven could borrow money. Borrow money in order to pay off the debt that he owes to the estate of his father, that he owes to his brothers. Lova. Ubalichov bo'in v'nifro'im. And ultimately, the creditors could go ahead and collect the debt from the estate. So Reuven could borrow money, and then the creditors will collect the debt that Reuven owes them from the estate. We'll see exactly the mechanics of this, but take a look at Rashi just in a moment. Rashi says, "Ubali chov mifroim min ashavas chalko kigonim hayu shnayim achim hu shlishi nifroim bali chovim min ashavas shlish v'ashar yigavu mimenu." So we'll say this is interesting. So somehow we'll have to discuss the mechanics of this. But essentially, Reuven wants to be able to hold onto the property that he stole because that property is now his Yerusha. He doesn't want to give it back. So what he could technically do, the Mishnah says, is borrow money, and essentially, again, collateralize the estate. So then the creditors will come to collect from the estate again. Like I said, we'll see in the Gemara how exactly that is going to work. Next, Omer Libno, man says to his son, Konam iatonana mishali. So we'll say if a man says to his son, I do not want you to get any benefits from me, from my property. Okay, so then fine. What's that halacha? Imeis irashenu. So ultimately, again, if he dies, his son has the ability to inherit him. Why? Because obviously, once the father dies, the property is not his. Because it's not his, the son could get benefit from it. This is an interesting case, right? So in other words, Yaakov says to his son Reuven, I don't want you to get any benefit from my property. So essentially, what the Mishnah says is halacha lemaisa, once the father Yaakov dies, it's no longer Yaakov's property, and therefore Reuven has the ability to get hana, to get benefit from it. Okay, top of Kuftes 109a, bechayav ubimoso. What happens if Yaakov, the father, says to his son Reuven, I do not want you getting any benefit from my property during my lifetime or in my death? It makes lo yirashenu. So in that case, even when Yaakov dies, Reuven does not inherit him. Because in this particular case, remember again, so the father, Yaakov, attached the stipulation of no hana, both during his lifetime as well as during his death. V'yachzir labanav, o la'echav. And halacha lemaisa, again, the property goes back to the sons or to the brothers, whoever the inheritor ultimately of Yaakov is. Ein lo. Now we'll say now again. Now we're going to see over here in this case also, this is also going to be a situation where, let's say again, halacha lemaisa, Reuven is utilizing part of the estate and he doesn't have the ability to give it back, right? He needs to use it. So once again, vim ein lo lova, he's able to borrow, o ba'alichov ba'im minifron. And then the creditors will go ahead and take payment from the estate. Again, we'll define the parameters of this case really in the Gemara. So let's analyze. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, afilu la'arniki shel tzedakah. So remember again, so let's take a step back here. So going back to the father case, the Gemara really jumps into the end of the Mishnah so we can define the parameters of this case. So interestingly enough, sahalacha lemaisa, the Gemara said like this. Reuven, let's go back to the father case. Right, so Reuven stole from his father. Reuven stole from his father Yaakov. And now after he stole, he swore that he didn't steal. Yaakov dies. Now Reuven admits that he stole. So what does Reuven owe? Reuven owes Keren, Chomesh, and Asham. So now the Mishnah said that Reuven has to go ahead and repay that to either the sons of the deceased, i.e. his brothers, or to the brothers of the deceased, whoever the inheritors of the estate are, that's who Reuven has to pay back to. So Rav Yosef says, here's what's interesting. What happens if there are no inheritors? There are no inheritors. Let's say, for argument's sake, Reuven is the sole inheritor of his father, Yaakov. There's no one. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, he has to pay back the stolen funds, even if it means that he gives it to the tzedakah fund. He can't keep the money. He has to go ahead and pay it back to the tzedakah fund. Rashi says over here, "Vafila arniki shel tzedakah, imeinu motzei yorei shla'aviv lemi yashiv yitin la'arniki shel tzedakah v'lo ya'akiv biyado." It's an incredible halacha. So Reuven has to pay back the stolen object, the Keren, the Chomesh, and the Asham. Well, the Asham is the carbon. It's the Keren, the Chomesh. And ultimately, even if he can't find an inheritor of Yaakov, his father, he has to give it to the tzedakah fund, the community tzedakah fund. Amar Papa, v'tzarech shiomer, and when he gives back this money, he has to say, ze gezel avi, I am going ahead and repaying that which has been stolen from my father. So this is actually fascinating on a number of levels. First of all, the extent to which Reuven has to go to in order to do tshuva, that he literally, even if there are no inheritors, so he's a sole inheritor, he still can't keep that money. He has to give it away to tzedakah. And not only that, when he gives it away to tzedakah, he has to make the declaration, I am returning the stolen object of my father. Profound. I would say, by the way, this also makes sense just from a pure tshuva perspective. You know, the Rambam brings down in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph of tshuva, of Hilchos tshuva, the Rambam, the first thing he discusses by tshuva is vidui. Kishiyasa adam tshuva, v'yasra mecheto chayiv lehisvados. The first thing the Rambam discusses in tshuva is vidui. Why? Because what vidui does is, vidui, confession, makes the act real. See, before you confess something, you could explain it away. Before you confess something, you can rationalize it. Once you confess it, it's a davar shebal yolam, it's in existence, it's here, you can't run from it anymore. So it's incredible that Rabbi Papa adds in over here that to do tshuva for the act of stealing from one's father, even though in this case you're returning the money by itself is not enough. You also have to say, ze gezel aviv, this is the object that I stole from my father. Incredible. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amai nimchalei lenafshe. This doesn't make any sense. Let's play this out. If we're talking about giving the money to a tzedakah fund, that means that Reuven is the only inheritor of his father, Yaakov. That means when Yaakov dies, the entire estate comes to Reuven. So now, technically, Reuven is the estate. Reuven owes the estate money for the money that he stole from his father. So why can't Reuven just be mochel his own debt? Whereas Reuven, the owner of the estate, should be able to forgive his obligation to the estate. After all, Milo Tanan, did we not learn this? Machalo ala Karen, v'lo machalo ala Chomesh. Well, so we learned this concept before. Actually, in the previous Mishnah, we spoke about, again, where I steal from someone, and let's say, again, the victim is mochel on the Karen. He forgives the Karen, but he's not mochel on the Chumash. The point that Gemara is making over here is that these are forgivable entitlements, right? These are forgivable obligations. So the same way that someone else could forgive the Karen or the Chumash I owe them, in this case, where Reuven is the sole inheritor of Yaakov, why can't he forgive the Karen or the Chumash that he owes to the estate? On Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yosei Lili, ha Rabbi Akiva. But say, here it is. Machlokes Rabbi Yosei Lili and Rabbi Akiva. Desanya. Vim ein liish goel, la hashiva asham. So also remember again, the pasuk over here. Vim ein liish goel, la hashiva asham elav. Ha asham mushav la Hashem, la koim lavat el akipur. So we're talking about a situation where if I steal something from someone, and let's say again, the victim dies, and he has no heirs. No heirs, no relatives, no one else. No one else. The halacha is the stolen object goes to the Kohanim. Goes to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Is there such a thing as a Yid who doesn't have a Redeemer, who doesn't have a relative? Every Jew has relatives. So the Gemara says, so what's the rather, what are you talking? We're talking about a person who steals from a convert, and the convert died. So a convert who dies, so we're talking about a convert, so remember again, so a convert obviously doesn't have any relatives above him, right? He doesn't have ancestors because his conversion ultimately severs those familial ties. We're talking about a situation of a convert who didn't marry or didn't have children. So there's no one to inherit him. So we'll say, what's the halacha? If you steal from a ger and he dies, so what do you do with that property? What do you do with it? So now there's no family to give it back to. So therefore, halacha lamaisa, the Gemara says, the Torah says that you give it to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Hari shagazla hager v'nishpalo. So the case here is, I stole from a ger and I swore that I did not do it. I swore false that I did not do it. B'shama shameis hager, and I heard that the ger died. V'haya ma'ale kaspa v'ashama l'Yerushalayim. Now this is interesting. And so what happens? So I heard that the ger died. So what am I doing? I'm taking now everything that I owe, right? I'm taking the Karen, the Chomesh, I'm taking everything with me to Yerushalayim. Upaga ba'osa hager. And now watch this. And now I meet the ger. So let's say I stole from the ger. I heard that he died. I felt terrible. I admitted that I lied. I'm bringing everything up to Yerushalayim. And now I bump into him on the way up to Yerushalayim. Barach mechayim mesim. So that's what happens. We have fake news, right? I got fake news that he died. Turns out that he's alive and well. So what's the halacha? V'zakfo alav b'milva. This is an interesting case. So now I bump into the ger. Obviously, again, I tell him about everything that I did. And what does he do? He says, fine, you owe me, I stole $1,000, you owe me $1,000. So we structured as a loan. So now I owe the ger $1,000 for the money that I stole him. Umeis. And now then the ger dies. Then the ger really dies. So what's halacha? Zach hala b'mash shabiyad with Rabbi Yosei Lili. Rabbi Yosei Lili says that halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. So I acquired the debt. Why? Because essentially, the property of a ger who dies becomes hefker. So now what I have is, when the ger dies, I have a loan due to the ger. The loan is in my hands. I have the ability to acquire the loan. Because remember, according to Moshe Galili, we transformed this debt from theft into a loan. So now the ger died. His property, he has no yarshim, he has no inheritors. His property becomes hefker. Therefore, I get to keep it. That's what Moshe Galili said. Kivar Makivu says, absolutely not. Ein lo takana. So Rabbi Akiva says, absolutely not. That's not tshuva. Ein lo takana means, remember, there's a tshuva aspect over here. You stole something from someone, you have to make good. And you can only go ahead and rectify the wrong if you actively return the object. Now, obviously, here I'm not returning it to the ger. He's dead. He has no relatives, there's no inheritors. So what am I going to give it to? I'm going to give it to the coin. That's that law. Give it to the coin. So this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosei Lili lo shna l'afshe, lo shna l'achira matzi machale. So according to Rabbi Yosei Lili, the same way, right? There's the ability, in other words, once, essentially Rabbi Yosei Lili, once this transaction transforms from theft into something else, there's the ability to forgive it. So both in this case, where ultimately the theft was transformed into a debt, and now again the ger dies and the property of the ger becomes hefker, so the thief, who's now really a debtor, has the ability to keep the debt for himself. So too, when Reuven stole from his father died, now Reuven is the sole inheritor. Reuven has the ability to be. Reuven has the ability to keep the stolen object. In other words, or she has the ability to forgive the debt to himself. That's Rabbi Yosei Galili. Current Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva, lo shna la'achem, lo shal nafshei, lo matzu mochel. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that at the end of the day, you have an obligation to make good or to make right the wrong you have committed. Whether at the end of the day, you're chayv to someone else, or even technically speaking, if you're the beneficiary. In other words, in this case over here, interestingly enough, when Reuven is the sole inheritor, so one can make the argument that he is giving money back to the estate. It happens to be that it's going back into his pocket. Rabbi Akiva will say, no, you can't do that. You have to take the money. You have to give it to tzedakah. Let's say, I'll just point out something interesting. Remember, again, this is reminiscent of Machlokes. This is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva we had before, right? Which is, remember, you stole from five people. You don't know who you stole from. What did Rabbi Akiva say? So first opinion said, drop and run, right? Put it in the middle and just run away. Rabbi Akiva says, no, what do you have to do? You have to give to each person. So you must say, what you begin to see is Rabbi Akiva is machmir on tshuva. It's incredible, right? He's machmir on tshuva. If you want to be a bal tshuva, there are no shortcuts. Now, Chazal institutionalized certain things to facilitate and make your tshuva easy, but from your own perspective, there are no shortcuts to tshuva. It's such a profound yisod. So Rabbi Akiva says, Reuven, you stole from your father Yaakov. I got it. Now your father died. You're the sole inheritor. The estate is yours. So you want to tighten? Okay, I owe the estate. Had I had brothers, I'd have to pay back to the estate. Now there's no brothers, it's just me. I can be mochel to myself. Rabbi Akiva says, that's not tshuva. Tshuva is you're going to take that money, you're going to take it to the tzedakah fund, you're going to say, Hareze Gezel Aviv, this is what I stole from my father. That's your tshuva. You're going to pay back every single one of the five people. There are no shortcuts to tshuva. This is such an incredible yisod. Because, we live, like, we're all looking for, like, a life hack for everything, like a shortcut for everything. And there are many beautiful shortcuts. There are some really great hacks that exist in the world. And there are some really incredible things that you could bypass a long and lengthy process in order to get a more immediate result. But then there are other things in life for which there are no shortcuts. Tshuva, there are no shortcuts. If you want to be about tshuva, it's going to require work. If you want to be about tshuva, it's going to require effort. And the truth is, it's because it's not really just about tshuva. It's really because one of the things in life that do not have shortcuts are relationships. Relationships, there are no relationship hacks, right? There are no relationship shortcuts. You want to build meaningful relationships, whether it's a meaningful marriage, meaningful relationship with your kids, meaningful relationship with your parents, with your friendships. And with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's effort. It's a road. It's a process. It's a journey. And there are no shortcuts. Tevar Rabbi Akiva, it's not the pshat that he's just simply being machmir with tshuva. Rabbi Akiva is machmir with relationships. You want something good out of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to be a bal tshuva. You want to rebuild. There's no shortcut to that. You have to do the work. It's incredible. Rabbi Yossi, who had in that lo zakfu b'milva. The truth is, also going back to the previous case, Rabbi Yossi doesn't remember. Again, we had the case where a person stole from a ger, thought the ger died. He's going up to the base of Mikdash to go ahead and give away the property to the kohen. He meets the ger on the way. The ger transforms the stolen object into a debt, right? And then the ger dies. Rabbi Yossi says he could keep the debt because the property of the ger becomes hefker. Therefore, he could keep the debt. The Gemara says, if you're basically, even if he didn't transform it into a debt, right, he could still keep the stolen object. Why? The Gemara says, in other words, because Kohen Rabbi Yosef legally, essentially, once the ger dies, that's it. So again, his property becomes hefker. I happen to be in possession of the object. That's it. I'm allowed to keep it. So the truth is, the Gemara says, v'hai, diktani zakfar la b'milva, lo diacha kocho d'Rabbi Akiva. The only reason that they set up the case as where the ger transformed it into a debt is to tell you the strength of Rabbi Akiva's position. That even when it's a debt, so now you could really say that it's the nechasim, it's the property of a ger who died without Yarshim, and everybody agrees that that property becomes hefker, but even in that case, Rabbi Akiva still requires you to make good and ultimately again to go ahead and repay the loss, repay the debt, or repay the loan, the debt, the stolen object of the ger. Afilu zakfan al b'milva, ein lo takana ad shiotzik zil mitachas yado. They're both saying that even in that case where the ger transformed the stolen object into a loan or into a debt, Still, Rabbi Akiva would not allow you to keep it, and Rabbi Akiva would require you to go ahead and pay back that stolen object again, either to the Kohen or to the Kupas Tzedakah. Maskif la Rav Shesha. So Rav Shesha says as follows: Ihachi, Rabbi Yossi, la Shmuina lenafshei, v'chol shekim la'achirim. If this is the case, then according to Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi, why not go ahead and first tell us the case that you could forgive the debt, so to speak, to yourself. And then certainly if you could forgive it to yourself, you certainly could forgive it to others. So Rabbi Akiva, Lashmina Lachirim, D'lo Matzi Machil. So Rabbi Akiva, tell us if you can't forgive it to others, then certainly again, you can't forgive it for yourself. D'lo Matzi Machil. Allah Amar Rav Sheshes, Hava Hav Rabbi Yosei Galili. Rabbi, you have to say both cases are Rabbi Yosei Galili. How so? Kikam Rabbi Yosei Galili, D'matzi Machil Lachirim, Aval Anafshei, D'lo Matzi Machil. Rabbi Yosei Galili really says that you have the ability to go and forgive something due to others, but you don't have the ability to forgive something due to yourself. Why not? Ela amai zacha halab b'masha biyado. And ultimately, again, so why in the case of the ger, why does the thief have the ability to go ahead and keep the money after the ger passes away? Mishum dezakra halab b'milva, because it was transformed into a debt. In other words, at the end of the day, if it was a stolen object, even Rabbi Yosei Galili would say, you can't forgive a stolen object for yourself. In other words, something that you owe, that you're in possession of, you can't forgive that. That you'd have to pay out. The only reason by the ger case that Rabbi Yosei Galili says that you are allowed to keep it after the ger dies is because the ger transformed it into a debt. And therefore, when the ger dies without inheritors, it becomes, again, property of a ger who doesn't have anyone to inherit him, which becomes hefker. And therefore, again, the person in possession of it is able to keep it. Rava Amar Rava says no. Hav ha Rabbi Akiva. Both kids Rabbi Akiva. Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva. When did Rabbi Intalo Matzi Machel Enafshei? Rabbi Akiva said you can't forgive something to yourself. Aval la'achirim, when it comes to something due to others, Matzi Machel. You have the ability to go ahead and forgive it. Top of Kuftes on the base 109b. Mechlal, Rabbi Yosei Galili Savra Afilu Linafshei Nami Matzimachal. So we'll say that sounds like that, based on Rabbi Akiva's position, sounds like the current Rabbi Yosei Galili, you would be permitted to go ahead and forgive something that is due, so to speak, to yourself, right? In other words, it doesn't sound right, but you'd be permitted to go ahead and forgive something due to you. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Ella gezel hager to kamrachmon and nesina kon hechem mishkachasla." So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So using that logic, then what's the case of gezel hager? In other words, if according to Rabbi Yosei Galili, there is a concept that if something is owed to you, right, you're a possession of it, that you could forgive it to yourself, then what's the case of a stolen object of a ger that goes to kohanim? Let me just speak this out, right? I go ahead and I steal something from a ger. The ger dies. The ger dies. So now again, I want to make restitution. So the Torah says that halacha lemaisa, you have to give it to the kohanim. But I don't understand. If at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Zalili, I could forgive something that is, so to speak, due to me, then remember, when a ger dies, his property becomes hefker. I'm the one in possession of it. I could technically hold on to it. So this is kind of like a debt due to me. So why can't I just forgive the obligation? Why do I have to give it to kohanim? So what is the case where there would be an obligation ultimately to give it to the kohanim? Amrav hachamay askinan, what's the case of here? Kishe gazel as hager v'nishbalo, umes hager v'holda l'achar nisa. So this is actually an interesting case. What's the case of where I have to go ahead and give the property, the stolen property of the ger, to the kohen? Watch this. It's where I stole from the ger, and I swore that I did not steal. Then the ger dies. After his death, I admit that I swore falsely. So now, what's the halacha? Deba'idna de'odi kano Hashem enasnu lakohanim. In that moment when I admitted my liability, then in that moment, the halacha, so to speak, or literally, the ribono shel olam acquired it on behalf of the kohanim. Look at Rashi. Kano Hashem ekadosh baruch hu gidichsiv amoshav l'Hashem lakohen. So that's the case. That's the case. So, but interestingly enough, it could be that in a different kind of case, without the shvua, that perhaps I would be permitted to go ahead and hold on to. But obviously, we'll have to see the halacha lemaisa in this. So, Be'er Ravina. So, we'll say, so that's the case. That's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. The Gemara is suggesting that the paradigmatic case of Gezel Hager is where I steal from a convert, right? I swear that I did not steal. Convert dies. Ger dies. After Gerrit dies, I admit that I stole from him and that I swore falsely. In that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, acquires it because there's no one else, right? There's no Yarshim, there's no one else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol acquires it and conveys ownership over it to the Kohanim. That's the case of Gezel HaGer that becomes the property of the Kohanim. Okay, this is what I was saying. I just want to point out just again, how are we here? So just remember, we could retrace our steps a little bit. We have our case in the Mishnah that we still have to work out the mechanics, but we have our case in the Mishnah where Reuven stole from his father Yaakov. Okay, so after Reuven stole from his father Yaakov, so Vinishpa, Reuven swore that he did not steal. Father dies, right? And in the case of the Mishnah, what's the halacha? Then after father died, Reuven admits his liability. Reuven has to go ahead and pay Karen, Chomesh, and Asham. Now remember again, Rav Yosef pointed out that what happens if Reuven is the sole inheritor? Even if Reuven is the sole inheritor, Reuven still has to give away the money. He has to make good on his tshuva. He even has to give it to the tzedakah fund. And again, we saw he has to make the declaration. So I will say, what you see from there is what? That you can't forgive a debt that is due to yourself. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. Reuven is the sole inheritor of the estate. Reuven owes the estate. Let Reuven just be mochel the debt that is due to him. But you see that he can't do that. So we'll say, so now this sparked the conversation of Gezel HaGer. Because Gezel HaGer is one of these interesting cases where the Torah tells us that if you stole from a Ger, right, a Ger dies without Yarshim, you have to give it to the Kohen. So essentially we're trying to figure out, that's interesting, because how does that work? Because if a Ger dies and he doesn't have Yarshim, his property becomes Hefker. I'm in possession of it. If I'm in possession of it, then why can't I just keep it and just be mochel the debt to myself? Essentially, I can be mochel the theft to myself because I'm now the owner of the ownerless property. So now we'll say, so now come full circle. That's what the Gemara says, you're right. The case of Gezel Ager that becomes the property of the Kohanim is a very specific case. I stole from a Ger. Then I swore that I did not. He confronted me. I swore that I did not steal. He dies. After he dies, I admit that I stole. That's the moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, you admit it. In that moment of admission, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, he becomes like the, it's almost as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Yoresh. He's the inheritor of the Ger, and ultimately he conveys it to the Kohanim. Okay? Interesting. Well, we're going to go through the Rambam also, because we have more to do on this sugya, a lot more to do on this sugya. But I'm going to say, let's go back to a little bit. Bay Ravina, Gezel Giores Mahu. What happens if you steal from a Giores? Right? So we were talking about Gezel Hager. What happens if you steal from a Giores? Mahu. So what's the halacha? Rashi says, Shegazel Osa Vinishpa Vahodu La'achar Misa. So we'll say, so again, I steal from a Giores. She confronts me. I said, I did not steal from you. I swear. And then after she dies, I admit that I stole from her. So what's the halacha? Mahu. So we'll say, so once again, does that property become the property of the Kohanim or not? So Ish Amrach Manavalo Isha. On one hand, the Torah, when speaking about Gezel Hager, uses the lashon of ish. So maybe this only applies to a male convert and not to a female. Al dilma orche dekrahu. No, maybe they will say the Torah is just writing. Again, I will say the Torah, almost like the default gender of the Torah is always like male gender, but it doesn't mean to exclude women. In other words, whatever halacha is going to apply to a ger is going to apply to a giores as well. Amar de Rav Aaron, the Ravina. So Rav Aaron says to Ravina, Tashma. Let's analyze. Disanya ish only ela ish. In the pasuk by Gezel Hager, I only know that it applies to a man, right? Ish aminayin, how do I know that it applies to a woman? Kishu omer hamoshav, hare kan shnayim. So I will say, ultimately, when it uses the word hamoshav, ha'asham hamoshav la'ashem, so this infers even more people. Hare kan shnayim, Rashi says, hamoshav, shnei hashavos ksiv la'ashiv hamoshav lishnachrina, shtrei ashamos ksivi la'ashiv ha'asham ha'ashamoshav. So there's a double lashon in the pasuk. Rashi says, I'm not sure if it's the word moshav or asham, but there's a double lashon in the pasuk. The double lashon tells me that this halacha applies to both men and women. Hare kan shnayim, im kein, ma tamud lomar ish. If that's the case, and if it applies to men and women, so why does it use the word ish? To which the Gemara says, tamud lomar ish, im kein ma tamud lomar ish, ish, ata tzarech lachzer acharav im yesh lagolim im lav. So it is only an ish, only a man. We're going to see man over here is not a gender thing. Man is an adult. It's only an adult. If you have a ger who's an adult who dies, that's when you have to go looking around, does this person have any inheritors? Katan, iyat atzarech lachzer acharav. If let's say you stole from a ger and the ger was a katan, so a katan, you don't have to start looking for yerushim. Why? Because once I know that the katan doesn't have any inheritors. So because now the katan doesn't have any inheritors, therefore halacha lemaisa, I don't have to search after him. So we'll say, so it turns out, so for our purposes, this halacha applies to a ger and giores alike. So why does it say ish? Because when the ger dies, there is an obligation upon the perpetrator of the theft, the thief, to see, did this ger have any relatives? The only time I'm obligated to go through that process is if I stole from an adult ger. But if I stole from a minor ger, where I know there are no relatives, because again, he's not related to his parents, and ultimately, again, he doesn't have any children, so therefore, halacha lemaisa, there would be no obligation of searching out for any surviving heirs in that case. Good. Tan Rabbanon, Lashem Lakoin. So the pasuk says is all still by now we're kind of into Gezel Hager a little bit over here. So the pasuk says Vim Eima Ishkoa Lahashiva Ashamaylov, if the convert who you stole from doesn't have any relatives, right? Lahashiva Ashav Elov Haasham Hamushav Lahashem Lakohain. That so you'll return the stolen object Lahashem Lakohain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kohen. So what does this mean? Kino Hashem, this is what we just said before. The mechanics are supposed to have Gezel Hager as such. So remember again, if we frame it the way we saw it before, I steal from a ger, he confronted me, I swore that I didn't steal it. I swear, right? He dies, I admit that I stole. Then what's the halacha? Pasuk says, La Hashem Lakoin. What's the mechanics? The moment I admit that I stole, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol acquires it. He acquires it. The Nasnu Lakoin Sheba Osa Mishmar. And Kadosh Baruch Hu conveys ownership of this stolen property to the Kohen whose shift is on duty basis. Remember again, the Kohanim are split up into 24 Mishmoros, 24 watches. Each watch served a week in the Beis HaMikdash over the course of the year, well, more than 1 week, right? So whichever Mishmar, so to speak, is on duty that week, they get this Gezel. So I admit that I stole it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol acquires it and conveys it to the Kohanim who are on call for that particular week. So the Gemara says, "At Omer LaKohen Sheba Osa Mishmar, or Eina Ella, O Eino Ella LaKol Kohen Sheyirtza." How do you know that it goes to the Kohen in that Mishmar? Maybe it goes to any Kohen who wants it, right? Any Kohen who wants it. Kishu Omer Milvad Ella Kipurim Sheyichaper Bo Alof. So remember again, the Torah says, I lost the place. Oh, in the whole coin shears. So it says, how do you know that it goes to the coin of that Mishmar? Maybe it goes to any coin. Kishu Omer, Milvat Ela Kipurim Asher Yichaper Bo, I love, Hare Coin Shosa Mishmar Kosa Medaber. So remember again, the end of the pasuk is, in addition to, remember again, because we're talking, remember how we framed the case? I stole from the ger during his lifetime. Obviously, I stole from the ger. I swore to him that I didn't. He died. I admit that I swore falsely. Three-prong liability, Karen, Chomesh, Asham. So the Torah says, you have to give back the stolen object, LaHashem. It goes to Hashem. Hashem conveys it to the Kohanim. This is in addition to the Asham, which becomes the property of the Kohanim. Now, which Kohanim get the Asham? The Kohanim of that particular Mishmar. Right, that's who gets the Asham. Whoever's on duty that day, that's who gets the Asham. So the same way that the Kohanim of the particular Mishmar that's on duty get the Asham, they also get the stolen property as well. Incredible. Tan Rabbanon, Hari Shaya Gozel Kohen Minayishla Yomar Hol of Yotz LeKohanim Harei Utachas Yadi Heshali. All right, so listen now. Watch this. This is a great case. What happens if halacha lemaisa, the Kohen stole from the ger? All right, so watch this. You have Aaron. Aaron HaKohen goes ahead and steals from the ger, and same case. He stole from the ger, swore to the ger that he did not steal from him. Ger dies. After the death of the ger, then the Kohen goes in and admits that he swore falsely. So Kohen's like this. Okay, I'm going to chop it over here. What would normally be the process? Normally, when the thief admits that he stole from the ger, and he swore falsely, so what happens? Lashem, a kohen, becomes property of the Kashbaruch gives to the Kohanim. So the Kohen says, listen, I'm a Kohen, so how about when I admit it, it comes to Kashbaruch, and guess what? Baruch Hashem, what goes around comes around, it goes to Kashbaruch, I give it to Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, the Rosh Hashem gives it right back to me. Sounds like a good time. Now let's just read it inside again. Hare Gezel Kohen Minayin Shelo Yomer. How do we know that he can't say, since this property would only go to Kohanim, Vahari Utachas Yadi, and I'm a Kohen and I currently possess it, Yeheshali, it should be mine. It should be mine. How do we know that he can't say that? Vidinhu. Now, both saying the truth is, you can make a good kavachomer to this. And I will say, by the way, if you want to make a good kavachomer, you make a good kavachomer. Why? This coin, as a coin, if let's say it was his mishmar, he would be entitled to acquire the stolen property that was stolen by someone else. Then alachas kama v'kama, he should be able to be zocha b'shalatzmo. In other words, if he has entitlement to property of a ger that was never in his possession, so and it becomes part of his possession, alachas kama v'kama, ger property that is already in his possession should certainly remain in his position. His possession, excuse me. So it's a good kavachomer. Now I'll point out to you, we see something amazing, which is that when you want to justify something that is wrong, the power of rationalization and justification is so powerful that you could even make a kavachomer. Right? You could even come up with not just like an exegetical argument, and the exegetical, right? I could even make a kavachomer why what I did is not even wrong, but at the end of the day, why it should remain with me. Right? I could even justify the incredible power of rationalization and justification. Rabbi Nassim gives it a different lashon. In other words, still also justifying the ability for the coin maybe to keep the stolen property. He says like this. Listen to this. If a Kohen, something that let's say he did not have possession of or did not have an ownership interest in, yet once it comes into his hand, into his possession, no one has the ability to extract it. Now, what is this referring to? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's almost right across. So we'll say, now listen to this. So this is talking about over here a very interesting case that davar she'ein lo chelek bo ad she'ikanes b'rishuso k'she'ikanes b'rishuso in yachal lahotzi miyado. So Rashi says over here, we're talking about a case of a kohen who brings a karban. Now, in general, the halacha is, right, I'm in Yisrael, I bring a karban. So what happens? So that karban, the different hides or different things, becomes the property of the kohanim who are on shift when I bring the karban. When a kohen brings his own karban, he has the ability to offer it up himself, which means that he could keep the hide, that he could eat the meat. See, he gets all Kohanic privileges, even though, again, it's his own karban. A really fascinating halacha. So once again, look at that Rashi again. Kohen she'es nadev karban, when a kohen makes his own karban, da'armin ala kamam b'shmaitin, kohen ba'u makriv karbanosa, b'chol shoshi yirtza. Kohen can bring his own karbanos whenever he wants, u'bisara va'ora shalo, and the meat and the hide belongs to him. D'chsev v'ish es kadashav lo yu, nimsa she'en libnei mishmar chelek bo. Which means, I will say, that the other members of the mishmar have no rights in it, right? So, davar she'en lo chelek bo ad she'ikanes b'shuso, ki she'ikanes b'shuso en yachal ha'otzi miyado. Therefore, again, so, davar she'yish lo chelek bo ad she'lo yikanes b'shuso. So, certainly something that he does have a portion in, certainly something that halacha lamai said that he does have a portion. And darish yish bo chelik bo, actually kanis b'rishuso, mishenichnas l'rishuso, eino din de'ein achar yachal lahotzi miyado. So then certainly something else, where again, he doesn't have a chelik in it, right, before it came into his possession. Once it comes into his possession, certainly no one else should be able to extract it from him. Take a look at Rashi. Mishenichnas l'rishuso, eino achar yachal, she'im nasna l'koin achar, she'osa mishmar, Shuv en yachalotziyamiyado, shenemar v'ish ashayitin l'koy lo yeh. So we'll say, once something comes into the possession of one of the kohanim in the mishmar, no one else has the ability to go and extract it from him. And I will say, you know what? Actually, what we're going to do is, let's finish this up. So we'll say, so that's the kavachomer. Again, Rabbi Nassim is just justifying the same thing. The point that he's making over here is that in a case where it's the kohen who's the thief, the kohen is the thief, and therefore, again, he stole from the ger, swore that he didn't steal. Ger dies. Now, Kohen admits after the death of the ger, I stole it. So we want to suggest that the Kohen should be able to keep the stolen property. Because who does the stolen property of the ger go to? Lashem Lakohen, goes to the Kohanim. So ultimately, again, the Kohen should be able to keep it. So Rabbi Nassim is just advancing a more formal kal v'chomer to be able to go ahead and to justify this. Rabbi Nassim's Kal Vachomer essentially is as follows, that if a kohen brings his own carbon, essentially no one has the ability to extract it from him. Yet if you were to give it over to the Mishmar, right, no one could extract it from the Mishmar. So all the more so, again, something which normally becomes part of the Mishmar, someone else couldn't extract it. When it begins with the kohen himself, i.e. the stolen object of the ger is already in his possession, no one else should have the ability to extract it from him. All right. So lo, Gemara says it's not a good kavachomerim. Amrit b'davar she'in lo chelik bo, shekeshem she'in lo chelik bo, kach in la'achilin chelik bo. I will say it's not necessarily true. Why? Because saying that the coin doesn't have a chelik in, the same way he doesn't have a chelik in it, no one else has a chelik in it either. Tomar b'gezel, when it comes to gezel ager, shekeshem she'yesh lo chelik bo, kach yesh la'achilin chelik bo. So Rabbi says, here's what's interesting about Gezel Ager. When it comes to Gezel Ager, pretty much at that moment that the thief, even though in this case the thief is the coin, the moment that the thief admits liability and says that, again, I stole it, and I swore falsely, in that moment, Gans Kohanim, all of the Kohuna, has the same level of entitlement to it. And therefore the Gemara says, Ella, Gezela Yotzi Mitachas Yado, Umischalik Lecho Echav HaKohanim. Therefore, Allah HaMaisi, you have to say that the Gezel leaves his hands and ultimately is divided up amongst all of the Kohanim. So we'll say we're going to stop over here for today, even though, again, we're not finished yet. There's still a little bit more to the sugya. But the way the Gemara seems to say is as follows, that, excuse me, pretty much it doesn't matter who the thief is. Whether the thief is a Yisrael, the thief is a Kohanim, or is a Kohen, the process is the same. You steal from the ger, you swear that you didn't steal, the ger dies, you admit liability. In that moment, you admit liability. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, takes possession of it and gives it to the Kohanim of that Mishmar. And again, whether the thief is a coin or not a coin, the process is still going to be the same. And the Kohanic thief, the coin thief, cannot claim that since this becomes property of Kohanim, I'll just keep it myself. There's more to this in Meretz we'll get to tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing everybody in person on Tuesday. Shkoyach Godol Chevra. What a daf. I wish we had just more time to go through everything. All right, Emir Tzashem, Emir Tzashem. I will say Shkoyach, schus to learn with all of you. Have a great day.